Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Grab a seat. Grab a seat. Baptisms tonight. It's very exciting. I got baptized a while ago. The good thing about it being, if you don't know, there's a tank under here. And soon we're going to lift up the lid and some people are going to go through some very cold water, I believe. The good thing about that is that you'll be able to talk about your baptism. You'll remember it. Like, I remember that time where I got baptized and then 3 days later I got the flu. I remember that. It's how you remember the date. I'm very good at remembering dates. I'm very good at remembering, like, all those key dates. My wife, not so much, but I'm very good at it. I remember when we got married. That's a big one. The second 2002 at 2:30 p.m. That's pretty good, eh? I remember all my kids' birthdays. I remember when my wife and I left Dunedin and moved to Katikati of a date. I remember the date. I remember the date when we left from Katikati, we moved to Australia. I remember the day. I remember the day when we left Sydney and moved across to the Outback. I remember the day when we left the Outback and came back to New Zealand. I remember the day when we finally got to our own house in Collingwood Street. I remember the day when when I got told that my wife was pregnant. I remember all these key dates, a whole heap of key dates. I was baptized on the 29th of May, 1994, with my whole family, me, my three sisters, my mother and father, and our little Presbyterian church, just over 25 years ago now, which makes me feel really old. And yeah, so sorry. Sorry that I couldn't, you know, anyway. I kind of wish that I was a bit younger and a bit trendier, but I would have had to be baptized at 3. And we don't do that here at our church. You can get that done at some other churches. Anyway, baptisms tonight. So it's really cool. I love baptisms. I want to talk to you guys just really quickly. I don't want to spend a lot of time doing this because I want it to be about these awesome people who are going through this tank and about the awesome journey of their faith in God. But I do want to talk a little bit about baptism because I don't know about what you guys think, but sometimes baptism can be somewhat of a bit of an intense kind of subject, because often when we talk about baptism, we talk about things like repentance and lordship and salvation, and then we even kind of imply that, you know, once you've gone through the waters of baptism and you come up the other side, something might happen in your life where someone, Victor, might come up to you and say, hey, all that water that you soaked up in the baptism tank, can you please return it? Because, like, your baptism didn't count or something. And so we have this kind of vibe where when we talk about baptism, because it's a very serious thing, it can be quite intense. But I was hoping that maybe just in a few minutes I could give you a little bit of an image, a little bit of a metaphor for baptism that might change that up a little bit. And what I would call it is God's part of the equation. So we often talk about what we're going through when we go through the baptism. But have you ever thought about what God is going through? What God says his part is in your baptism? And I hope that it's really inspiring. I hope that it's really colourful. I want you to kind of see that God is playing a part in this as well. It's not just about repentance and lordship, although it is. A lot of it has to do with repentance and lordship and salvation and the problem with man and all these kind of things. But God is playing a part in it as well, and it's actually really cool. It's actually really beautiful. It's perhaps one of the most beautiful metaphors that we have that reflects the goodness of God in our Christian faith. And to do this, we have to jump to the very first baptism that ever was. The very first baptism. So when you think of baptism, you probably think of a few different things. You possibly think of Jesus being baptized. You probably think of John baptizing people. You possibly think of, let's go to the Old Testament, you probably think of Naaman. Oh, really? Yes, you could think of Naaman, who, when he was plagued with leprosy, was told to dip himself into water. And he dipped himself 7 times, and when he came out, he was clean. You could possibly think about Elisha, Elisha, the double anointed one, I've talked about him a couple of times in the past, but we find that he crosses across a river. He hits the water and the water parts and he crosses through the water. We think of Joshua and the 12 tribes of Israel crossing over into the promised land, going through the river of the Jordan. We think of Moses and we think of the Red Sea and how Moses led the people out of captivity and the Red Sea parted and they crossed through on dry ground. You could even think of Noah and the great flood that flooded the earth and wiped away the violence and the sinfulness of man and gave us an opportunity to start again. But I would suggest that even before all of those, there's another baptism. And it all goes back all the way to the very first chapter of the very first book of the Bible, Genesis 1. And at the very start of a story, because I want to paraphrase this so I don't take too long on it. The very start of the story, at the very start of the Bible, at the very first thing we read in the Bible is that God creates the heavens and the earth. God, out of nothing, begins to form everything. He creates the heavens and the earth. And then the next verse we read is that the earth is sitting there and it's covered in water and it's empty and void. And the Holy Spirit hovers over the waters as if anticipating something. And then God speaks and he makes light. And then God speaks and he separates the waters from the waters and creates the sky. And then God speaks and God speaks and God speaks and God speaks. And before you know it, there's this whole creation all laid out in 6 days. The most intriguing part about this, and this is why I call this the first baptism, is because the world is covered in water. And then around day 4, I think it is, we see the waters recede and the land come up from the water. And what we find next is that not only is there land, did you know when God created light, he saw it as good. Then he created a whole lot of other things. But it wasn't good again until the land came up out of the water. And what followed next was an explosion of life. Plants, flying things, swimming things, crawling things, walking things, fruit, and all these things all burst out on the land after it rises up in the water. So this is the picture that I want to try and give to us, that God, in baptism, he isn't just saying, hey, look, there's a problem here. You need to get it right. He is saying that. He actually is saying that. What he's saying is, if you would come to me, if you would come to me and you would listen to my voice, the potential for you is life that flourishes like you would never believe. Verse 1 talks about the earth being void and formless, covered in water. Can I say to you tonight, well, let me say it this way. Often people, commentators who talk about this, suggest that that word void, that word empty, can also be translated as chaos. So we have this picture of God coming into the midst of chaos. You know, God doesn't fear chaos. One of the things about this first baptism that stood out to me as I was looking at it is that God doesn't fear chaos. He doesn't fear chaos, which for us as humans should be really exciting. Because wherever you are at, whoever you are, whatever kind of conditions you think that you might have that would separate you from God is no problem. He doesn't fear chaos. In fact, you find him in the middle of it. You find him right on top of it. His Holy Spirit is hovering over the water. With a word, He is able to begin to transform your life from darkness to life, from arid ground to life, from chaos to order. It's really cool. Something else we find as we read through the passages is that God will speak. God's words have power. He's very powerful. If we would listen, we would find that His word alone is enough to transform our lives. Sometimes we worry that God may not give us something because of who we are. Count that out, because I just said He's not afraid of the chaos. Let Him in. He's not afraid of the chaos. But also we think that God has to do something really powerful to get us. He has to do something really good with what this, you know, I mean, look at me. He has to do something really good in order to make this all work. But He doesn't. He has enough power in His words alone to form everything that we see, everything that is, from nothingness into the explosion of life that we have in front of us, trees and birds and crawling things and swimming things, simply with His words. This should be a real encouragement, because what it means is that you don't have to worry about your situations. You don't have to worry about your natural giftings and talents. God in the Word is able to transform it. God in His unique, amazing way is able to make you flourish. Let me just pull this open. Come on, dear. Excuse me. The other thing that I want us to know, maybe it's the bubbly water, I don't know, is that dry ground, let me see if I can say this right, the dry ground represents our potential and our future. Chaos is potential. It's potential for us. God doesn't fear the chaos because He knows His potential. And in each and every one of you, there is a potential inside of you to be great in God. The thing that you need to know is flourishing is the power of the potential that you have inside of you released. And so we find this dry ground latent with potential. Lots and lots of potential. If we could just allow God to let us let God loose Himself on us, we can find that potential released. I hope I'm making sense tonight. I feel like I'm speaking gibberish. I really am. Anyway. So that's all I really want to say. Is that in the first baptism, we see this beautiful picture of God releasing His word, not worrying about the chaos, releasing His power over someone's life, or something's life, this world. The waters are parted, and this Cambrian explosion of life just happens across the face of the planet. Everything there. The last thing, you've got to realize this amazing picture is that God has been saying this is possible since the time began. He's never changed the story. It's always been the same. If you would trust me with your life, if you would give your life to me, it doesn't matter what state it's in. It doesn't matter whether you think you're able or not. If you would give your life to me, if you would pass through the waters, if you would give me that dry, arid land, I have the power to cause you to flourish in the most truest of ways and in ways that you would never have imagined if you will give your life to me. It's been his story since Genesis. It was his story at Israel. It's his story at Christ. It's his story with the church. Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Sounds really intense, doesn't it? It's not supposed to be. Anyway, that's all I want to say. And in a minute, we're gonna have a friendship break, and we're gonna open up the baptismal tank. But for those of you who don't know Christ, I would love for you to pay attention to the testimonies that we see on the screen. Hear the stories of how God has transformed a life, that God in someone's heart, and what God has done for someone can be the same for you. And after that, at the end of this service, if you don't know Christ, we're going to give you the opportunity to start your relationship with him tonight. And it's as simple as a prayer that says, God, I want you in my heart. God, I want to open my life to you. I don't know exactly how this is all going to work, but I open my heart to you. Would you come in? Would you come into my life? And would you cause me to flourish with the power of your word? Okay, let's pray. Father, I thank you for your timeless, for your faultless, for your unchanging word. I thank you for everybody here. And I pray, Lord, as we go into these baptisms, yeah, that you would just reveal to every believer afresh the beauty of your power in someone's life, your goodness and your grace. And I pray for everybody else in this house that you would just speak to their hearts about who you are and reveal yourself to them, I pray tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.